All right, that was a story from Columbus Mavunga from Zimbabwe. Now, the Africa-China Think Tank Forum took place here in Lusaka, Zambia last week, and we had think tanks from around the continent and from China to find ways of rebranding Africa as a premier destination. We had 17 African countries attending that and being part of that and putting their minds together to find find solutions in how we move forward as we try to rebrand Africa. We have heard of trade wars between China and the USA. How do we leverage that? How do we use that as an opportunity to rise above their problems? In studio now, I am joined by Salim Kaunda, who's head of research and analysis from the Policy Monitoring and Research Center. Good evening, Salim. How are you?
Excellent, and yourself?
Good to have you on my show today.
Good to be here.
All right, we also have Akabondo Kabechani, head of monitoring and evaluation, who is also from PMRC. Good evening, how are you?
I'm fine, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. So from what you have seen on the screen, the inserts that are coming from the different African countries, and it's to do with economies not doing well, Zimbabweans complaining. Mm-hmm. It's to do with farmers actually asking for their land back because they want that economic activity to continue on, from politics to different aspects that obviously we'll look at as the program goes on. Before we talk about the forum that took place last week, why are think tanks important for rebranding Africa? Salim?
Good question. I think if you look at Africa, of course, we've been labeled by the rest of the world.
Right.
When you talk of Africa, people think of poverty, corruption, war, famine. So that is a brand that is upon Africa. But we as Africans actually want investments to come to the continent. So how much are we doing to rebrand ourselves to really show the resources that are there in Africa that would be able to attract as many investments as possible? So the challenge you see is that we have not done much as Africans. I think more so often we do actually get what international media report about Africa. Mm. And it's so strange whenever we travel out of Africa, we get these views of people asking all sorts of questions about what they think Africa is. So that's when think tanks come on board. So when we talk of think tanks, we say this because think tanks have the capacity to conduct research. Think tanks can actually package the resources, I mean, everything good about Africa in a nutshell. Mm. And think tanks have the networks and they have the influence and they have communication channels that would go to the rest of the world. Now, that's the messages that we need to take out as ourselves, as Africans, branding ourselves into something that actually we want the rest of the world to identify ourselves with. And we say so because we have seen the power of think tanks, be it in United States, in the UK, in the UAE, in China. And think tanks are basically there to offer checks and balances, to also interrogate what good can come out of the nation, and then take the message out there. Mm-hmm. They also make governments work by providing alternative policy solutions. So in this case, we want think tanks to actually put all these things together, right. The resources that pertain, and also the good things that can come from Africa, and also advocate for example, technology that should come to Africa. Mm-hmm. So when we package all this research and take it out there, then we'd actually communicate to two audiences. One, our governments in Africa, and number two, the rest of the world, sending a message about how we want to be perceived, but also a key message of our leaders in Africa to work on all these things that we've been labeled. Because mm-hmm. some of them actually are true in Africa. We have nations that were just created in Africa, but again, they've split. Talk of Sudan. So are we doing enough to be the Africa that we want to be? And that's where you see that the networks of think tanks more than ever is now very critical, because we've seen that the more think tanks unite, the more they would be able to generate messages, the more they would be able to offer policy alternatives to their governments, mm. the more they will help to contribute towards overall development of the continent. And also another interesting thing is, if you look at Africa, when you want to rebrand, we're talking about what is in the AU 2063 agenda.
Right.
Well, we're talking of an Africa that is very industrialized, where technology, I mean, is the talk of the town, where education, you know, all these variables, economic variables, are positive. So when we talk about that, how much are think tanks going to actually be influential? That's when we say, let us interrogate our individual country perspectives, see how far they are implementing the AU Agenda 2063, the SDGs, the MDGs, the Continental Free Trade Area. That way, we would actually push governments to work. As a result, we are creating a new Africa. So we have to start thinking of an African identity. We just celebrated Africa Day yesterday. have we taken time as Africans to reflect on what the African identity should look like?
Right. I like that. That's a very important
exactly.
question.
Whenever people talk of China, we always say the Chinese are hardworking, the Chinese this. So when people talk of Africa, what is it that we want
what
to
What is our brand?
And that's
who
the question
are,
that,
who are we?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think it should begin from there.
Right.
We have the resources, we have the culture. How do we harness everything that we have to have this continent that can really harness the resources and be just like the rest of other continents
right.
as well?
I like that question.
Yeah.
And I think this now takes me to my next question. Akabonda, this is for you. How then do we package? How then do we brand ourselves as Africa? We have so much natural resource on the continent. We have tourism, we have wildlife, we have the people, we have the cultures that you're talking about, we have the languages, we have the music, we have so much, but yet we do so little with it.
Well, when you make reference to issues to do with tourism, you will note that the Western narrative is that tourism in Africa has been created for the Western world.
Mm.
And as Africans, we've made it difficult for Africans to access our own tourism facilities.
Right.
Because they're too expensive for Africans. So the conversation starts from there. How then do we counter the negative narrative? We don't counter the negative narrative by rejecting it. We have issues to do with corruption. We have political strife. You've seen there one of the news items, the recent election in Malawi, where voters are complaining about issues to do with corruption, state of the economy, disease burden. That is what Africa is usually identified with, maternal deaths, mortality rate. And so there are these issues that we need to start to change. So how do we change this? We're saying corruption, of course, is not unique to Africa. It's something that's there all over the world. But what are we doing to change the negative narrative? And this is how we begin to rebrand Africa and begin to change the whole negative narrative, which most of which, of course, comes from the Western world. So how best can we take the good image about Africa to the rest of the world?
Mm.
And it starts with us showing the good side of Africa, being able to have smooth elections, for example, being able to industrialize Africa and produce some of the best products coming out of Africa.
Mm.
So we may have the natural resources, but it's not good enough if we're exporting raw materials and other countries are out there churning these raw materials into finished products, which are coming back to Africa at a higher rate. So we need to start the conversation from there.
Right. I was privileged to attend the Africa-China think tank forum that we held as Zambia, obviously. And one of the discussions and talks was around how does Africa get a better deal from China?
Yeah.
We get to see this infrastructure coming to Africa from China, from, you know, wherever, from the West, basically. Yeah. And is our voice being represented fairly, equally? Are we getting, a 50-50 chunk of the piece of pie?
Yeah.
Or are we just saying, oh, come. Come and take, and then they take and go back and leave us with nothing. And we can't even use the technology that they leave or the infrastructure that they leave. Are we getting a raw deal as China? As Africa?
Very interesting question. I think, first and foremost, you've asked about China. And probably some people will be wondering, why China? I think we have to look at China, because China is currently the largest investor in Africa.
Right.
It's the largest creditor in Africa. And also in the next few years, China will be the largest economy in the world. So we cannot look away from China. Whether we like it or not, I think we need to partner with China. No wonder there are platforms that have been made for Africa to engage with China. We have the FOCAC, where almost all the African leaders do go to China. The other time it was in Johannesburg. In September last year, it was in Beijing, where African leaders do go to China to discuss what would happen between Africa-China relations. Now, looking at Africa and China, of course, China, in a nutshell, China knows what it wants with Africa. And that's what is widely talked about.
Mm-hmm.
But the question is, does Africa know what it wants from China? And I'll give an example. For the FOCAC that was there in September, 52 heads of states from Africa went to China under the umbrella of FOCAC.
Mm-hmm.
The Chinese by then knew what the agenda would be and what would be talked about. But when the African leaders meet the Chinese leaders, obviously, every African leader would look at what am I getting for my country.
Right.
So you find that we've gone under one agenda, but when we reach that side, it'd be like, okay, I need a road, perhaps I need an airport. And so you find that we have individual narratives mm-hmm. from different heads of states. So what should actually be is that there are steps in the right direction. Africa has the AU Agenda 2063.
Mm-hmm.
That is sort of a roadmap of where Africa should be by 2063. And while you talk of 2063, that would be 100 years after the formation of the OAU, which changed to AU. So Africa has sort of given itself KPIs to say by 2063, we should be this industrialized continent with technology and everything. Now, there are several steps that have started coming out from that. And the most recent one is the CFTA. Mm-hmm. Continental Free Trade Area,
right,
where Africa said, let us open up our borders and have this massive infrastructure built within the continent. So already, then they look to China and say, okay, China is implementing the One Belt, One Road initiative, which is also an infrastructure initiative. So how about we link these two, because they speak the same aspirations. Now, the challenge therefore would be for our leaders, like I said, to have a sort of unison. We can actually identify maybe 5 key areas that each and every African nation can speak to. Once we have these common elements, which we can call a common denominator of all the African nations, then whenever we engage with China, we would push those 5 before our individual nations.
Mm.
That way we would notice that, yes, we would have one voice with China. As long as we do not have common elements that we want to talk to China about, we will still continue with this individual approach. And that has not helped Africa, because the CFTA itself is a massive project. And China already has come to link the BRI, which is multi-million infrastructure project, which from the initial map might only benefit maybe Kenya, Egypt and the other countries. What about the rest of Africa?
Mm-hmm.
So you find that once we identify to say maybe education, manufacturing, health, we can come up with 5. Let those be embedded in the charter of the AU Agenda 2063, so that whenever we engage with China, that actually comes to fore. Without that, it would be very difficult for us. And that's also one of the resolutions that came from our think tanks forum, where we said an African strategy of engaging with China needs to be implemented, and that should be quick.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where think tanks have been challenged to spearhead the process, because national governments are quite busy looking at all the other things happening in an economy. We saw Malawi, Zimbabwe, almost every African country is so held up with one issue or the other. So think tanks have to look at that. China does send professors all the way to Africa, almost every country, to discuss with think tanks. We've hosted a number of professors from China who talk to us about what we feel that they need as China. Why don't we do the same?
Mm.
Why don't we send as many people as possible to also get, what do you really want from Zambia? Interrogate as much as possible. Then we also have a development strategy, because yes, we're partners, but we have to be strategic.
Yes.
No wonder
yes.
many people complain about China, because China is already organized. It knows what it wants for the next 20 years with Africa.
We need to know what we
want.
What
about Africa?
I mean, we send huge delegations
yes,
to China.
That's
and
a challenge.
We're thinking, okay, so we're spending all these monies.
Yeah.
People going, what are we getting out of them?
That's true.
How do we, bringing it back home, you've talked of the Continental Free Trade
yeah.
Area. We already have the SADC, the COMESA, the ECOSOC,
yes.
all these trade agreements. Are they working well? And how sure are we that the
yeah.
Continental Free Trade Area is going to be a success? Because already we
yeah.
have issues with COMESA. We have issues with SADC. We're not benefiting as much as we should be.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think the whole issue of diversity, I think, comes with problems. We're dealing with more than 50 countries trying to achieve the same goals.
Hmm.
So that's a little bit difficult. We bring in the issue of having different comparative advantages. But of course, what AU Agenda, I think, tries to do is to try to synergize these efforts, increase intra-African trade, because evidence seems to suggest that if we are able to increase intra-African trade, then we can have larger trade volumes within Africa and build on one another's strengths. For example, in Zambia, if you are able to grow cotton, and Mauritius is able to process that cotton into different materials, then we're better off exporting within Africa, export it to Mauritius, process it. Of course, you incur less costs taking it across there, then export it to China as a finished product. I think that's the general direction that we should be taking as Africa to try and improve trade. But of course, Salim has earlier alluded to issues where different African countries are cutting their own deals, and this begins to make the strategy a bit more difficult. You find African countries are trading raw materials, say for a road, and not just that, but an undervalued road. And so this creates a bigger challenge for Africa. And I think going forward, I think we have sufficient expertise within the AU, I think, to try and synergize different efforts and put together a plan for Africa's trade. And one of them, of course, is the CFTA, which hopefully will come into effect this year. But even that, of course, presents other problems, because there are other African countries that are more industrialized than others. Yeah. There are others which are barely industrialized. So what do they have to offer? Mm-hmm. So individual countries identifying the different comparative advantages and working through this strategy, I think, to try and bring Africa together and know that we're in this together, and we can only come out if we put our efforts together.
Right.
So, for example, if, say, South Africa has only a certain quantity of agricultural products to take, say, to China, and China needs so much, they could team up with other countries, of course, bearing in mind that we have to have issues to do with quality of certain products. And if this can be standardized, we're able to put our efforts together, get the required quantities and export them to China, and be able to even take advantage of issues such as the trade war that's going on between China and the US.
Mm.
So you may see it as having a negative effect on Africa, because, of course, commodity prices are dropping. Africa is renowned, I think, for exporting raw commodities, oil and minerals to China. So we can take advantage of this gap and actually be the next in line. I think Africa's biggest trading partner is China. So we should be able to take some of these things as positives and take advantage of the situation.
Right.
Of course, when we talk about trade issues, the bigger problem that Africa has is value addition and creating value chains within its products and being able to add greater value to its products and earning more money. And that's why we find ourselves in a situation where we're constantly exporting raw materials, which are coming back to Africa at a higher cost, and we're losing out.
Yeah. All right. As we quickly get to, you know, get through the program, let's talk about the Africa-China think tank forum that was held.
Yeah.
You talked of one resolution that, you know, you came up with.
Yeah.
What did we achieve?
Okay, great. So basically, as PMRC, we took the initiative of hosting the Africa-China Think Tanks Forum. Basically, we noticed that individual think tanks within Africa have been working in silos. And so sometimes there's been duplication of works.
Mm-hmm.
So you find that maybe a think tank in Rwanda would have done something on the CFTA that PMRC would have done in Zambia, or that another think tank in South Africa would have done. So basically, we want to bring about a consortium of think tanks, because we understand the value that think tanks have towards this African agenda. We understand the value of think tanks towards helping Africa to implement the Agenda 2063, the CFTA, the SDGs, and also the individual national development plans. So basically, we opened up a call to the rest of Africa, and of course to China. So why China is also to learn how the think tanks that side have been actually very influential to help the CPC actually develop China. So for Africa, we also selected think tanks that are making impact in respective countries, brought everyone together under one roof, and we had captivating topics that also look at China and Africa being so real with each other, and the same question of, does Africa know what it wants from China, came up, and the Chinese were there, represented, and it was thrown to them. And you find that they would also probably say what Africa should do.
Mm.
So that way you also get, you know, some details. But more than that, also we looked at the issue of rebranding Africa as well, which is quite key, and the role that think tanks can play. Another aspect was the issue of the trade war happening between America and China. I think many people have not taken time to follow what's happening. They just call it a trade war, and many people just know the issue of Huawei and iPhone and what's happening. But the truth is, these two are part of Africa's major trading partners. So as they are fighting, is Africa just going to look, or what is it actually going to do?
Or take sides.
Or take sides, you know, or maybe just stand back, or maybe, you know, grow its manufacturing base. Because what about if there are tariffs that prevent certain countries from bringing goods to Africa?
So this should be seen as an opportunity
exactly,
for us to...
Exactly. That's what we said before. That strategy...
As they are fighting, we're like, okay,
what do we do?
What do we do? We are here.
Exactly.
As they're fighting, Are we going to think like the hyena?
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. Take advantage while the fight is going on. Run away with the
goods. Yeah.
So those are some of the things that we came up with, and okay. And most importantly, there was a resolutions paper, an outcome statement or declaration that has sort of given a roadmap of what we're calling the Lusaka Consensus or the Lusaka Declaration. And as PMRC, we are proud to be the conveners of this, and that will be made public, I think, this coming week. But basically, it has pointed out what we feel are the key roles of think tanks. We've pointed out that think tanks need to unite more than ever, that there should be a mapping exercise that checks on which think tank is doing what, so that there's no duplication of works.
Okay.
We also want think tanks to be more funded than they are now, because if Africa is to develop, we cannot underestimate the role of think tanks, and they will need support, financial support, you know, institutional support,
and political
as well. So also the uptake from the governments, to what extent do they take on these recommendations? Because think tanks all over the continent do take time to invest in research. PMRC does that in Zambia, together with other partners of ours. We do so much to bring evidence to the table, but to what extent are governments willing to take that up? To what extent are governments willing to bring think tanks on board, have a strategy for the country? That's what we want to see. If Africa is to move forward, that's what we want. So the declaration paper is so strong, and it basically states about 8 points that we feel should be acted upon. And I think this will now be an annual event.
Okay.
So we'll be able to review, and that way more think tanks will be attracted. And China also gave its commitment to say, Africa still remains our number one trading partner. We want to do more. And so they want to open up more as well, to give us strategies of how they've been effective.
I'm going to stop you there. Aka, your turn, in terms of what next, quickly as we continue
on
the show.
What next? We're trying to see how best we can engage individual governments on our end. Of course, as PMRC and other partners, other think tanks within Zambia, we're going to engage government. I think on key areas of concern that we've raised in the forum, as well as things which we feel are important and of priority for the country, and how best we can solve this. Of course, it's raised the issue of financing, I think, to research and development. This is something that I think we have not funded very well in this country, because research and development, I think, should help to inform most of the decisions. Countries that are successful in the world, I think, have invested a lot in research and development. And I think that's the next step that we need to take as not only as a country, but as Africa. We need to invest more in research and development so that we can change the negative perceptions, and also base most of our decisions on well-researched information, which is critical for success.
All right.
Yeah.
Akabondo Kabachani, thank you so much. Salim Kaunda, thank you so much, and good luck with your work. It's quite a lot of work, but we need results.
Definitely. We're geared to deliver the results. That you can be sure of.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming through to the program.
Thank you.
All right, we continue on the program.